Welcome to another amazing episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host, Chantel, and I have my lovely, lovely bestie witch with me, Miss Murray Rose.
Hello, everybody.
So we're going to get down to the nitty gritty because tonight's episode is it's a little creepy. So we're talking possession.
That scares me.
Not like possession is, what is it? One-tenth of the law. What's that saying? That's not the possession we're talking about. We're talking demonic possession. Ooh. Marie's eyes just got big.
Is there any such thing as like the opposite of that? Like a nice possession?
I don't see the need for that. I mean, I can almost see why like a dark entity would want to overtake.
Well, I guess
you.
Like in Ghost, like in the movie Ghost. I mean, I guess that was a nice possession, right?
Well, I mean, I guess that's a form of possession.
Well, like,
because mediums do that too.
Right. Okay. I answered my own question.
Yeah.
I just had to think it through.
Yeah.
Talk it through.
So it's for a purpose because they do come in and, you know, they'll let a spirit speak through them.
Yeah. Get possessed temporarily.
Mm-hmm. So demonic possession. Creepy, creepy. And we've actually done some stories in the past about possession, like The Exorcist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Spinning heads.
Yeah.
Got it.
Pea soup. Not pee pee soup. Like split pea soup.
You.
When she's like projectile vomiting.
Right. Mm-hmm. Gross. Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. Disgusting. And then there's like the Enfield story that the Warrens did, like that case in Enfield, England, where Janet, that girl, the little like the 11-year-old girl, was possessed at times. Or maybe all the time. And the spirit was like getting her to do stuff. And it really, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Demonic possession.
Yes.
Okay. So.
The evil side.
Yeah. So here is the nitty gritty. Demonic possession is believed by some to be the process by which individuals are possessed by malevolent preternatural beings.
Say that word again.
Preternatural. Preternatural. Commonly referred to as demons or devils. Already creepy. So demonic possession is when a negative entity possesses and controls the mind and intellect of a person by merging with the person's consciousness. Thus, Marie Rose, the person's actions and behavior are partially or completely controlled by the demonic entity. So the demonic possession may not always be dramatic, but it can also be subtle and strong at the same time. So it doesn't have to be like, you know, Hollywood dramatic where you have someone tied up to a bed and their head is spinning, like you said, or, you know, it could be very strong and subtle. It's like an oxymoron.
I get it. Jumbo shrimp. Got it.
Right. Exactly. Jumbo shrimp. So this boggles my mind a little bit. There's research that says 30% of the world's population is possessed.
Oh, nuh-uh.
And 50% are affected.
Uh-uh.
What the fresh hell?
What?
Yes. If that's true.
Like demon possessed.
Yeah, like demon possessed.
And what study said this?
It's research. Some societies have done this research. Now, if this is remotely true, I'm moving to Pluto.
There's no way.
I know it's not a planet anymore, but I'm out. Like, I'm going that far.
There's no way.
Yeah, right? I'm like, where? What? Did you do this out of a group of 10? What are you talking about? No, it says the world's population. So where is this 30% in the world? Where is this 30%?
I don't know. So sometimes, like, if it's the wrong time of the month, I feel possessed. Could that be what they're talking about?
At any given time, 30% of the world's population is women that are possessed because they're all menstruating at the same time. They all have PMS at the same time. 30% of the world's women. And the 50% affected are the men.
There you go. We just explained it.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. Oh, God. Making light of possession. Since mid-century. I can't get over that mid-century thing. Anyway, how do people become possessed? There are like four major stages. Okay, so first, the actual entry point.
Don't get me started.
It sounds dirty, but okay, so I'm going to, before I get started with that, I'm going to tell you guys. Last week, we had some special guests in the house, in the room, really, our recording room. And I told you guys, like, it sounds a little more echoey. I'm in the process of moving. Like, stuff is just all rambled up in the house. Yeah. So it's, there is a little more echo in here. And I've got the dragon. So Huey is like right at my feet. Hennessy is laying in the room, but by the door. And so I test drove it last week. Things went really well. So we're going to try it again. And they just want to be here, like in our space.
Wait, they haven't barked once? Mm-mm.
Not, yeah, because usually it is, I have to stop recording and go get them to settle down because they have things to say to acorns that are falling.
Right. And they're trying to warn us because that acorn might be possessed by an evil demon. Right.
30% of the acorns in the backyard. And 50% of the trees are affected. So the test drive went really well and they are in here right now. Oh God, things have taken a turn. So if you guys hear random chewing noises or whatever, like that's because they're in here and Huey likes to lay right at my feet and he brings like a squishy ball and chews on it until he falls asleep, and sometimes he snores, and so you're welcome. Okay, so back,
it's time the world met them.
Yeah, I need to post pictures and show you guys.
Yes, because they're just loves. They just are, total love.
And this guy, oh. Okay, so how do people become possessed? Four stages of the process of possession include the actual entry point. Marie, shush.
It's your left eyeball.
The point at which evil spirit enters an individual and a decision, however tenuous, is made by the victim to allow that entry. Crazy, right?
Crazy. There's no way.
Here's my access point. Get it.
It's up the right nostril.
I know. I thought you were going to say something else.
I know that. Dirty mind.
I know. Okay. Then a stage of erroneous judgments by the possessed in vital matters as a direct result of the allowed presence of the possessing spirit and apparently in preparation for the next stage.
Okay. So first you get possessed and now you're making bad decisions.
Right.
Got it.
Like the feathered bangs. Not good. The perm in your hair. Not good.
The one from 1975?
Yes. That perm. Fluorescent clothes. Bad decisions.
Wait. Was that a possession? That was a possession. Really miss my neon pink sweatshirt.
That was a possession.
Oh, man.
Now you know.
But it was so warm and cozy and bright.
I'm
a good
friend and I'm going to tell you.
I know.
I feel like I had a neon orange skirt when I was in like fourth grade. It was bright.
Yeah, I had a neon pink sweatshirt and it was so soft and I loved it. It was probably junior high school.
Mm. Now you guys know what to get Marie for Christmas.
A neon pink, soft, cuddly
sweater.
Yes, I don't think they can
sweatshirt.
Yeah, I don't think they can make it that neon anymore. Yeah. That thing was neon.
Yeah, the world doesn't have threading like that.
Well, I'm sure it's probably like illegal now. It's probably toxic. Who knows?
It's lead. All right. So the third stage of possession, the voluntary yielding of control by the possessed person to a force or presence he clearly feels is alien to himself. And as a result of which the possessed loses control of his will and so of his decisions and his actions. So it clearly has escalated now. He's losing control. He or she.
Yes.
He, she, it, they. Whatever pronoun. So you are now losing control to this entity that has overtaken you.
Scary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So once the third stage is secure and that entity knows it's got you, extended control proceeds and may potentially reach the point of completion, perfect possession. So the thing with possession is it can happen quickly. It could take a long time. Like, there is no...
Like, years.
Yeah. It could take a very long time, or it could be, like, moments. It could be, you know. So I feel like we talked a little bit in the last episode, which was about the Warrens. We were talking about the case of the... what was their names? The family that A Haunting in Connecticut was based off of.
Snedekers.
Snedekers. So we were talking about them and some of the things going on in their home. And people like neighbors and others were like, you know, skeptical and said, no, it's a lie. They wanted to debunk it, whatever. But one of the points that we made in that episode is that, and this is true in any of these cases, when... So that particular family moved to that home because the eldest son was undergoing medical treatments and they were burning through their money by traveling constantly back and forth to this hospital. So they chose to move, to leave their home and move to this other home that was a lot closer to the hospital so that he could continue to undergo these treatments. So there is a severe illness in the home that they are tackling. They now have these financial issues. They have uprooted their family. They're in a new location. There's a lot at play here. And it is almost like the perfect recipe for something like this. There's a lot of vulnerability. Emotions run high. And enter the entity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I wonder how many possessions are easier for the demon to possess somebody under the influence of drugs.
Right.
Prescription, non-prescription, doesn't matter.
Someone that has an addiction.
Right. Or even hospital drugs, you know, painkillers, whatever.
Yeah, still an addiction. Or are you just saying...
Like
you are taking them for a short period of time, or right, what do you mean?
Right. Yeah. Because there are some drugs that you take, even if it's just for a day... Mm-hmm. That you're out of it. Mm-hmm. You're not in your right mind. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I guess it maybe if you are in that state and you also have been depressed and you've been, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're an easy target.
Right.
I think people, I'm thinking that people on meds are easier targets.
Right. But I think it also has to be you are an easy target if you're taking the meds in conjunction with other stuff. So it's you're on the meds, you've been depressed, you're out of work, you know what I mean? Like the laundry list, it goes on and on. If you are feeling good, you're grounded, you're centered, you have a regular practice of clearing your home and you know, you do these things, you sit out in the sun, you meditate, you whatever, like you have these healthy practices and you're on meds for a day or a week.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You're protected.
I don't know that you're a target per se.
Right.
But stay on the medication, you know, you suddenly get addicted or whatever, because it happens every day. And then I think things can take a turn for sure. Right. But yeah, there are definitely those situations that are perfect recipes for something like this to happen. A walk-in, a possession.
Yeah. All the more reason to protect yourself.
Yes. Yes. Because good Lord. Okay.
Because you don't want to be possessed.
Not by an acorn, not by PMS.
Oh, right.
Okay, so what are some physical symptoms of possession? They are. Here's just some. Like, okay. I'm not going to go through the laundry list, but it's like a foul taste in the mouth.
Okay.
It's rashes on the skin. It's...
Wait a minute. What kind of rashes?
Not like ringworm.
Okay. Well, I'm getting some rashes.
Okay.
I don't want to be possessed.
Interesting. She's possessed and she's flipping me off and the lights just flickered. Oh God, she's possessed. So it could be like a pinprick sensation, headaches and migraines, severe backache, body aches. You can't move. You feel like you're being strangled.
No, don't have that.
No. Fidgeting and restlessness. You have these like sudden tics that you didn't have before. Jesus Christ. This should be on video somewhere. We're going to start recording these because good Lord. Oh, here's a really good one. Making animal sounds.
I'm going through the checklist to see am I possessed or not.
She's like, oh my God.
So,
oh God. Okay. Then there are mental symptoms such as.
Okay, here goes the checklist. Mm-hmm.
So it could be like you are extra angry about things. Like where normally you're like, whatever, I can shrug it off. You suddenly.
Oh, that was me this weekend. Oh my gosh.
Oh God, she's possessed. So not feeling like speaking to friends and family that you normally are like, you know, cool speaking to. You want to distance yourself and really just start to seclude yourself. You behave contrary to your typical nature. You start having doubts and negative thoughts. Now listen, if this is going on, it does not mean that you're possessed. Like these are symptoms that mean you could be possessed. You know what I mean? Like every now and then we all get down. We have like a day or a couple days where we're just not quite right. And it's, you know, it's whatever. It could be.
You're like describing my month.
It could be, you know, hormone imbalance. It could be you haven't slept well. You maybe are eating crappy food and your system is bogged down.
Yeah. Okay. So all of the above.
Yeah. So it could. There are logical explanations. Now, if things like this start to happen and you're like, yeah, I'm making suddenly I can't stop making like sea otter sounds and I'm super cranky and I hate my family and like, you know. I mean, for real, like if you are other people around you are noticing these things, then you really need to take a hard look and start looking at things and say, what the hell is going on? If you are not acting like yourself, for example,
meditate in the sun.
Yes. Lay in some salt water, like something. Lay in holy water, for example. And I can't remember if I've talked about this before, but forever ago, like years ago, I was put on progesterone cream. Because I had this blood work done and this doctor, this like new doctor I was seeing was like, oh, you need this cream. So he put me on this progesterone cream. It did not take long for me to feel like I was ready to ditch my world. And I don't mean suicide. I mean, I was ready to be like, I'm out, family. See you later. Like, I'm going to leave my great job. I'm going to leave my dogs behind that I love more than anything in this world and just be out. Like, go start a new life somewhere else on my own because this life ain't cutting it for me anymore. It was that kind of thing where, and I noticed it almost immediately where I'm like, I am a cheerful person. I'm usually very happy and positive. And right now, like I cannot snap out of this. So the only thing that I was doing differently was putting this cream on topically, like wrists or whatever.
Wow.
And so I stopped putting that cream on and it took a little while for that stuff to work its way out of my system. But I slowly started to see the positive changes coming and my positivity coming back and my perspective, my outlook, like all of these things going back to normal, to what I know them to be. So there are logical explanations. I wasn't possessed. I felt possessed, but I wasn't possessed. So when you notice things like that, changes within yourself, take a beat, like look around. And figure out what could be going on. It does not mean that you have the devil inside. You might, but not always. Not always. So you could suddenly have an increase or decrease in your sex drive. You could experience lack of sleep, excessive sleep, sleepwalking, sleep paralysis, which is so creepy.
Ooh.
I hate sleep paralysis. That has happened to me many times. I don't like it. Ugh. Ugh. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. And we're going to do an episode on sleep paralysis and nightmares because it's the stuff of nightmares.
Oh.
It's just creepy. So you can have nightmares. You could start seeing intimidating faces, like weird faces or ghosts or, you know, different apparitions. You could have nightmares where loved ones are being killed or you're killing them. I mean, all kinds of different stuff. All kinds of stuff. You could have like machinery, like equipment around you could stop working or start acting up, you know, your computer, your phone, your whatever, like you're just giving off some different frequencies.
Wow.
Because you got the devil inside. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So then there's like, you know, the touching. There are stories of rape where people have been raped by unseen forces where, and in that case that we talked about, the true story behind A Haunting in Connecticut, mm-hmm. The parents both claim to have been sodomized by this evil entity in the home, which, what the hell?
Crazy.
Stop that.
Yeah, stop.
Hands and penis to yourself. Knock it off. So, I mean, so many different symptoms. So many different symptoms. So it's just, you know, something that you want to research on your own. You want to seek professional help if you think this is going on with you or someone you know and love.
So, okay. So I think I'm possessed. What's my next step?
Well, here's what I'm going to do for you, buddy. I'm going to put your ass out in the sunshine in a bath of holy water and I'm going to run. That's what's going to go down.
Yeah. So when I came to Chantel's house today, I did ask her to sage me because I felt like I needed it.
Yeah. So. And we saged each other. Like, I know I have a lot going on right now. I feel like for the last couple months, my brain has been super scattered and things do not seem to be slowing down. They seem to be ramping up and ramping up and ramping up. And so it's hard for me to catch up. And then I start to feel overwhelmed by stuff. And that overwhelming feeling can sometimes make me like shut down.
Yep. It makes me retreat.
Yeah.
It makes me stop.
I shut down. I stop talking. And it's not because I'm upset or anything. It's because I'm so like trapped in my thoughts. My mind is going. So it feels like it's been a lot of that. So it's not a bad mood per se. Like, it's not that. It's just like overwhelmed.
Yes.
And it's a lot of stuff going on, and it's work and it's personal life and it's everything. And so when I got home today, I needed to do a setup for Marie and I to record. So I brought a table and a chair, like new pieces of furniture, not new to me. Pieces of furniture that hadn't previously been in my house. So I smudged them and, you know, I'm like, not because I think there's something attached, but you never know, like you just want to be careful. And so I smudged them and then I went through and smudged the house. And then I did a quick smudge on myself because I just felt like I needed to raise my vibration.
Right.
And so when Marie got here, she voiced kind of the same stuff. And so I smudged her. She smudged me again. And then, you know, and I know when we sit down and start recording, we have a freaking blast. Like, we laugh the whole time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
we just cut up and we walk away from this. And I am feeling so much better because I had time to hang out with my friend, like one of my best friends. And we laughed and we talked about stuff that we enjoy talking about. And it's a way for us to spend time with you guys. Even though like it's two of us sitting in a room, but there really is something that makes me feel like I have this big group of our friends with us.
Oh yeah.
And it's, you know, anybody that's listening to the show. So I really do feel like they're here with us.
Oh yeah. We feel the love.
Yeah. We definitely feel it. So I don't necessarily feel like it's just the two of us sitting here. I do feel like we have a big group here and we're all, you know, contributing to the work that goes into putting the shows together. So it is a really good time. So when we come away from this, like if I'm ever feeling down, I feel a million times better. So already, just like when we started tonight, I was like, good, I'm healed. I'm ready to do this.
Not possessed.
Exactly. Not possessed.
Not possessed.
Mm-hmm. Not possessed at all. And then, you know, like I said, I have my dogs in here tonight and they always make me feel so good. So super good. So is there an easy solution to what you asked? Like, let's get back to that. If you are possessed, if you know someone is possessed, how do you fix it? How do you fix it? So there's so many different things you can do. And there isn't a one size fits all. So you can't expect that you're going to go to the freaking Vatican and just like standing on the grounds, you're healed, or you're going to get exercise and you're healed. Like, it's work. It's always work. And it's work on your part. And it's internal and external work is what it is. So we talk about this all the time. Meditate. Meditation is so super healing. And earlier today I was like, I need to meditate. And I haven't meditated in a hot minute. Like, it's been a while. And Marie is really good about meditating, like every day or almost every day.
I try. Lately I haven't. Mm-hmm. And that could be part of my problem.
Right.
But yeah, I got so frustrated this weekend. I ended up walking, I want to say it was like up 4 to 5 miles this weekend.
Jeez.
I mean, not at once, but mm-hmm. yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
That's awesome.
But it was getting out in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. It was moving. It was
right,
sweating.
Sweating, like getting it out of your system. Yeah.
Right. And it felt mm-hmm. so good.
It does feel good. So yeah, it's meditation. It's getting in the sun, because we've said it before. The sun burns off the yuckiness. It does. Yes. The sun is fire. Fire is good.
Yeah, I don't think a demon can survive that.
No, fire is good. Prayer. Prayer is very good. Yes. Whatever your version of prayer is, get down to it.
Yes.
And that's praying to whoever your God is or whatever it is that you worship, whoever it is that you worship, like prayer. Call in your guides, angels, the entire cavalry, like call them in, call in the troops, ask them to be with you, like call in. So when I feel, and I've said this before, when I'm afraid, when I feel like there's a presence that is really just starting to get under my skin and it's, you know, to the point where I am not remembering to center and ground and protect and do all that stuff, I call in my people. And what I typically do is I call in the universe's highest protectors or something along those lines, or the universe's highest healers, or you know what I'm saying. You get where I'm going with this.
Right, whatever you need at the moment.
Right. And I want the absolute highest. So I'm like, God, universe, send me your big guns.
Because you're awesome and you deserve the best.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. We all do. So I'm like, I don't want mediocre. I need Captain America. Like, that's what I need right now. And the Hulk. So you want to, you know, another thing you can do is seek spiritual guidance from your church, your local church, whatever church you go to. Talk to them and see what they have in place for things like that. If you believe that that's what's going on, and either they can help you or they can refer you to someone that can. Spend time with like-minded people that uplift and support you.
Yes.
So if you're feeling crappy, do not go and do Misery Loves Company. Like, don't do it. Don't go sit and be like, oh my God, my life sucks. Your life sucks too. That's great. No. Like, you want to be with people that, what is that saying? Like, if you want to fly with the eagles, you can't hang out with the chickens, like something like that.
You can't lie with the dogs.
You know what I mean? Like, don't expect sunshine from the moon. Like, that's not right. How this works. You need to be in the light. You need to be with people like that, that are,
who can lift you up.
Right. They're cheerful and they have your best interest at heart and, you know, that kind of situation. Clear yourself and clear your space. So smudging, and like,
that's important.
It's huge. It's huge. So it doesn't mean that you have to do what I do. My go-to is the sage stick. And I shared in a video, I think in the psychic attack video, that I recently started using like rain and storm water, and storm water, which is the bigger guns, to protect my home. And that's my stuff that I like to go to. I like to call in the archangels and do a ring of fire around my home. And I don't mean a literal ring of fire. I mean, you know, this is me working with my guides and the archangels and that kind of thing. I mean, it's what resonates for you. So if it's wearing five crosses on your person, wear five crosses, like, do what is positive and speaks to you. So take that Epsom salt bath, go have a spa day, like things that nurture you and take care of you. And is it going to go away all at once? No. Like, I have yet to read a possession story where it's like, one treatment, you're good. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
It takes time. So just like, you know, you didn't suddenly go from happy-go-lucky to depressed or whatever the case, like in one day or in an hour. It's the same kind of situation here. So you just have to work at it. I'm like bumping everything right now. Everything. So did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Okay, so here's the fun stuff that I like to talk about. And these are the stories, the tales, if you will.
Scare me with a scary story.
I have a few.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me get comfy.
Mm-hmm. I have a few. Okay, so the first one is about George Lukens. Now, some of these stories are from like the 1700s and 1800s. I'm going to butcher words and names and all kinds of crap. So just bear with me, you guys. Okay, so George. It's all about George right now. So in the late 1700s, locals of the village of Yatton, I think is what it's called, around 20 miles from Bristol in England, were rather alarmed when a man by the name of George Lukens began to display increasingly bizarre behavior. He would spontaneously start snarling like an animal or barking like a dog, as well as sing hymns backwards.
Ooh, that's creepy. Right?
I know. When I read that, I was like, what the fuck? I know. Sing or chant in a foreign language that the illiterate man did not know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Speak in voice, speak in both the voice of a man and a woman, or blurt out vulgar obscenities or profanity for no apparent reason. During these fits, he was also said to often convulse, walk around on all fours. I know.
Whoa.
I wish you guys could see Marie's face right now. I've read this. I've done the research, but these stories, like, she doesn't know. So no, this no, is exciting I, for no. me. Her eyes are huge right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would walk around on all fours or appear to be thrown about by unseen hands.
Wow.
I know. Wow, indeed. It was all very uncharacteristic behavior for the young man, who villagers had known to have always been well-behaved, calm, and cheerful. These weird episodes were completely unpredictable, could last for up to an hour, and plagued Lukens for years, forcing his family to have him put in a mental institution for 20 months, where all efforts to treat him, or indeed find any cause for condition, failed. These episodes became even more intense and tinged with the paranormal as time went on. Lukens would have violent outbursts where he would claw or bite at people or smash items with strength far beyond what his slight figure would suggest, as well as speak in voices that were not his own, and also showed a profound aversion to religious symbols, objects, or words. What the hell with this guy?
Wow.
I know. Spooked villagers began to suspect Lukens was under the influence of demonic forces or witchcraft, and even he himself began to proclaim to anyone who would listen that he was possessed by 7 distinct demons that would require 7 priests to eject from him. Is it like one per?
7.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
7 days.
Yeah, it's scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One minister by the name of Joan Valton, who had long known Lukens, said of him at the time, "I personally knew him, a youth about 18, short in stature and meager in aspect." Whatever was tormenting Lukens was obviously taking a toll on his health, as he had wasted away into an emaciated, withered-looking husk of his former self, drained of all vigor, and villagers became extremely worried about him. The story of the odd, seemingly possessed man spread throughout the village and surrounding areas, finally coming to the attention of an Anglican reverend in Bristol. Anglican?
Anglican?
Mm-mm. I think it's Anglican.
Anglo-Saxon?
By the name of Joseph Easterbrook, who was the vicar of the town's temple church.
Okay.
This is storytelling at its finest. When other clergymen of the church were told of the case, most of them agreed it to be a possibly genuine demonic possession. So they agreed it was possibly a genuine demonic possession. That's nice. But they refused to get involved, perhaps out of fear. Nevertheless, Easterbrook managed to gather together 6 other ministers from a movement of Protestant Christians for the purpose of arranging an exorcism for the demon plague Lukens to be held at Temple Church on June 13th, 1788.
So he got the seven.
Mm-hmm. He got the 7. The whole thing was meant to be a low-key affair that would be kept secret. So this ragtag group of exorcists was no doubt very surprised when hundreds of gawkers arrived out of morbid curiosity, fueled by stories of Lukens that had been circulating by both word of mouth and through the local news. According to Easterbrook's own account of the ordeal, the exorcism started with Lukens eerily singing in a high-pitched voice, which soon dropped to a deep, gruff one that ridiculed and berated the ministers present and told them they would undoubtedly fail. That's crazy. Singing in a high-pitched voice. Like Mariah.
Scary.
He then started alternating between a man's voice and a woman's voice, spewing out blasphemous rants, threats of physical violence, and even at one point, jarringly singing a love song. Right?
So you had like Luther Vandross in there too? Was that one of the 7 possessions?
I guess so. Gosh. Luther? Oh, God. The demons also made it very clear that they were infuriated that these priests would want to try to exorcise them and express contempt toward Lukens for telling them of their evil presence within him. As this tirade went on, other distinct voices began popping through, chattering about different things, singing, barking, growling, babbling about utter nonsense, and one particularly bass voice bragging about his vast powers. Sometimes the voices spoke perfect Latin, which Lukens had absolutely no knowledge of, surprising one skeptical observer who was trained in Latin and convincing him that perhaps what he was seeing was all real. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And illiterate. So he can't, it's not like he's reading this stuff.
He didn't pick up a book and.
Right. Lucan's also sang a hymn of praise to the devil, proclaiming him the supreme leader and governor of all things. I mean, ugh.
Well, isn't that special?
How thoughtful. The haunted man became so unruly that it required two men to hold him down as the ministers said their prayers over his writhing, contorting body. Listen, if you think for 1 second you're going to get me to hold somebody down that's in that state, you are effing crazy. I won't be in the same county. Like, what the hell?
Oh, you know you would be out there with the villagers with the morbid curiosity. You'd be buying the shirt.
Do it again, George.
You'd be buying the souvenir.
Oh my God. When asked why they were torturing Lucans, one of the demons allegedly replied, "So that I may show my power among men." Ugh. After 2 hours of intense prayer and constant physical restraint, Lucans then became calm, praised God, and stated that the evil presences were gone.
He's lying.
It's like brick on the middle. In the aftermath of the intense exorcism, controversy stormed around the event, and Lucan's
George
veracity. George's veracity. While those who had been present were convinced that this had been a genuine demonic possession, and many upstanding citizens of the village also tended to agree, others were not so sure. There were those who criticized the truthfulness of Lucan's, claiming that he was well known as a clever ventriloquist and suffered from some form of epilepsy, which had been exaggerated by the clergy to seem more supernatural, or that the demonic possession part was wholly fabricated by Lucan's to avoid having to work. I mean, if that's what's going to get you out of work.
Seriously? All of that because he was lazy?
Yeah, I'm possessed, PTO.
Okay, so, but he did get checked into a hospital.
Yeah, so.
Where he didn't have to work, and they probably fed him 3 times a day.
Right. So, not so shabby, right? 20 months, was that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, even some other clergy criticized the exorcism itself, accusing the ministers of not having been properly ordained to engage in such battles. All things told, the Lucan's exorcism turned out to be one of the most hotly debated and controversial exorcisms the country has ever seen. For his part, Lucan's experienced no further incidents of demonic possession and returned to a quiet, humble life. Although he wanted to stay in Bristol, he eventually returned home due to a negative public reaction to him living there in the wake of the exorcism. He'd go on to live a rather poor life with only sporadic employment as a bookseller and bill sticker, and living mostly off of begging and government aid until he died a lonely man in 1805. So creepy. He's singing love songs.
That is creepy.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
See what happens when a man doesn't meet a good woman? See what happens?
Oh, good. Sing me that love song. Sing it for me. Okay. Here's another one. The Ammons family. Not to be confused with the Adams family.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this one is a lot more recent. This is from our time. 2014.
Okay.
4 years ago.
All right.
4 years ago. Okay. So in 2014, a mother of three in Gary, Indiana, in the United States, for those of you that don't know, reported that her family was under siege from the forces of darkness. The strange events started with bizarre phenomena such as clouds of flies congregating in the home or on the porch. That is creepy.
Clouds.
Mm-hmm. Clouds of flies congregating.
Clouds. That's a lot of flies.
Like the plague. Like a friggin' plague. Mm-hmm. 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 Eerie noises. Eerie noises emanating from the walls and unexplained wet footprints tracked across the floors. But things escalated quickly. So in my home, things are going to escalate quickly if I see wet footprints.
Yes.
It's rude. Number one, where is that water coming from? Are you tracking it from outside? Are you in a wet tub and then you're just walking around? It's rude.
Yeah, clean up after yourself.
Seriously. I mean, what was the story we read where the ghosts were helping in the house?
Right. Clean up after yourself.
Which one was that? Dang it. I wish I could remember. We read it. It was in the last episode. We were talking about it. There were friendly spirits. Oh, was it the parent family?
Might have been.
Yeah. doing chores and whatnot.
Right.
That's
yes.
Earn your keep.
Earn your keep.
If you're going to visit here,
right,
you have to work.
Right. No free ride.
No free ride. Oh, God. Okay. So the mother, Latoya Ammons, claimed that her three children, aged 7, 9, and 12, were being targeted by sinister supernatural powers that covered a wide array of strange occurrences. Latoya reported that her son had at one point walked backwards up a wall and across the ceiling.
Nuh-uh.
Yuh-huh. Yeah. That another son had been thrown roughly across the room by unseen hands, and that her daughter had been witnessed to levitate over her bed while unconscious. If you guys hear all that noise, it's not a demonic possession going on in here. It's just Hennessy. She's like shaking her ears out and thanks for all the noise, Hennessy. Thanks for all the noise.
Oh, she's just getting settled in and taking a nap.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to sleep.
She's a sweet girl.
She's delicious. Okay. So Latoya also said that her children were prone to talking to invisible presences, speaking in deep voices, displaying evil smiles or giggles and bulging eyes, as well as stories of the kids growling with eyes rolling back in their heads, claims of which generated interest from authorities such as the police and child services. Listen, if I have children and they do stuff like that, I'm going to say, I'm going to go find your mother. I'm out because... No.
Yeah. You're possessed. Giving you back.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going, but you're not coming with me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So one officer, a Captain Charles Austin, visited the Ammons expecting to see an abusive mother or a fraudster, but was seriously convinced when he personally witnessed the odd events unfolding at the affected home and even supposedly took a photo of a ghostly white figure lurking in a room. That's creepy.
It was a white figure? Not a black figure?
Not a black figure. A white figure. Mm-hmm. Could have been a purple figure.
Purple.
It was a figure.
Okay.
That shouldn't have been there. Crazy. So I'm guessing it's just her and the three kids in the home, right?
Okay.
Okay. Psychiatrists brought in by child services found nothing suspicious about the mother, nor any signs of mental illness. Eventually, exorcists were brought in who claimed that there were around... Okay, I'm not even going to say the number. How many demons do you think they said were stalking the home? The afflicted location.
40.
No, ma'am.
How many?
200.
Nuh-uh.
Right?
So, were they just in a bad neighborhood? Are they living on top of a cemetery? Indian burial grounds?
That's a great question. Because, I don't know. Let's go on. Because 200 demons... I'm out. I'm leaving the home and I'm leaving the kids there.
That explains the clouds of flies.
Yes. The plague. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's baffling. It's baffling. Okay. So they claimed there were around 200 demons stalking the location and the spirits were only appeased when the Ammons moved away from the cursed home and the exorcism was completed. No.
So I wonder if the home is occupied?
I don't know.
Today?
I don't know.
Or... empty or torn down.
Maybe burned down. Yes, that would be nice because this crap, no. So the newspaper, the Indianapolis Star, claimed to have in their possession hundreds of pages of official documents on the phenomena and also claimed that the possessions were so severe and believable that authorities were afraid to enter or even go near the home. That's creepy.
Wow.
Yeah. Looking at these bizarre accounts, one is left wondering just what is it we could be dealing with here?
You know, that's that. I just want to like put a camera on one of those bomb squad robots and let it go in there and record stuff.
It's creepy, right? Oh my God.
They need to call the Ghost Brothers.
They do need to call the Ghost Brothers.
Let them bring the equipment.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Here's another one. A little shorter. In 2008, a board certified psychiatrist and teacher at both Columbia University and New York Medical College, Richard E. Gallagher, declared that his patient, known only as Julia, had experienced possession. Described as a charming and engaging woman, Julia was the queen of a satanic cult. What the?
Ha, she was the queen bee.
Right, the queen bee of the old SC. After feeling convinced she was being attacked by a demon, Julia reached out to a local priest who in turn reached out to Gallagher to put the woman through psychiatric treatment.
Wait a minute. She was the queen of a cult.
And was shocked to her very core that she was being possessed. I know. You should see the dumbfounded look on Marie's face right now.
All right.
Yeah. No, it's not even right. Mm-hmm. So Gallagher ruled out mental illness after seeing his patient enter trance-like states and finding items flying off the shelves in his office. And, okay, so this is happening, right? He's in a session with her. And she's going into these trances and crap's flying off the shelves. And he's doing what? Is he just sitting there jotting down notes?
What year was this?
This is in 2008.
Okay. So 10 years ago.
Right. So is he right. Like on Candy Crush or?
Yeah, it didn't exist.
In 2008?
10 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't think it existed.
Wow. Whatever the 2008 version of Candy Crush is. I don't know. Like, I don't know. So in any event, he's sitting in his office. She's going into trances. Crap's flying off the shelves. Julia is speaking in tongues and sharing details about his life that she could not possibly know.
Ooh.
Right? Which is what demons will do.
Ooh.
They F with you.
She's getting in his head. Right.
And she's like, here's some info.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One event that sealed the deal for the Yale-educated medical professional was when, during a phone call with Julia's priest... So it was Gallagher and the priest on the phone. Okay.
Okay.
He heard one of the demonic voices that had come from her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Except she was nowhere near the phone. Right?
Are you sure she wasn't on a party line?
That's not a thing in 08. So Julia was eventually exorcised, a process during which she allegedly spewed threats, levitated, exhibited super strength, and changed the temperature of the mother effing room.
Ooh, no, that's a good party trick.
This, right? Party foul, you didn't change the temperature. I know. Super creepy. Ugh. Okay. Ronald Doe or Robbie Mannheim. Do you know this name?
No.
Okay. He is the inspiration behind The Exorcist. Right.
Scary.
Mm-hmm. 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 I do this all the time. Why is it so funny today?
Uh-huh,
it's when my it's when my brain is thinking.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. I'm like trying to process all the creepy. Okay, so Robbie, boy of 14, whose actual name was Roland Edwin Hunkler.
Okay, I like Robbie better.
Me too. Or Roland. No, Robbie. I like Robbie better. We're going to call him Robbie.
Robbie.
Okay. So he had a tryst with demonic possession in an attempt to contact his dead aunt using a Ouija board. Remember this?
Mistake number one, Robbie. Yes. Come on.
So the story is very long, but the gist is this. He had mysterious scratches on his skin. There were flying religious artifacts, guttural splutters, body contortion, levitation, the works. Like he went down the checklist of what to do if you're possessed and he did them all. He was like, check, 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 check. Vomit on people, check. So he eventually was exercised and never heard from
him again. Like 20 jumping jacks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Burpees. Burpees are of the devil.
Yeah, they are.
Of
yes.
The devil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Burpees are evil.
They are evil. So that's another one. And I know we covered The Exorcist. I think it was when we did the haunted movies and movie sets episode season one.
Yes.
And that one was a lot of fun. And we did talk about The Exorcist and how a little bit of the origins, I do believe. And Robbie's name came up because that is the truth. It wasn't a girl named Reagan. It was a boy named Roland.
Roland, Roland, Roland.
Yeah. Roland, Roland. Okay. So this name you guys know. David Berkowitz, a.k.a. Son of Sam, right?
Scary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he is the serial killer who made New York terror-stricken in 1976. He went by Son of Sam, or the .44 caliber killer. So reports confirm that 6 people died and 7 got wounded in the Summer of Sam. And it was actually like in this one summer in 1976, he went on this rampage and killed 6 people, wounded 7. So after he was taken into custody, like, he was finally found, and it was something super dumb. Like, they, I mean, it was just the universe, the stars aligned. And it was something about, like, a parking ticket. Like, he got a parking ticket or something like that. That's how they found him and, like, pieced everything together. So after he was taken into custody, he confessed all his crimes and asserted that a demon residing in his neighbor's dog ordered him to kill.
Oh, blame it on the dog.
I know.
Oh, come on. I know. How low can you go?
Rude. How rude. So incarcerated with 6 life sentences, he admitted to being part of a satanic cult and perpetuated the murders as ritual offerings. I mean, this guy. You know what I mean? I know. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
You know, I don't think that I realized that was the summer of 76.
Yeah. Summer of 76.
Because I lived up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood why my parents never took me to New York City.
Mm.
We lived in up in the northern New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to go to New York City, and they'd never take me. Maybe I wonder if that was why.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would have been too young to...
It was the summer of Sam.
Heard the news.
Yeah.
Listen to the news.
It was Sam's summer.
I was more worried about Donny and Marie Osmond.
No. Fancy. Fancy. Yeah. David Berkowitz was running around wreaking havoc in New York.
And blaming it on the dog.
I know.
Dumbass.
What a D.
I know.
Jeez. Good Lord. Okay. So you guys, that is our episode on possession. And it's a creepy topic. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was researching and I'm like, oh, this is gross. Like, this is just makes your skin crawl. So if you've been possessed or you know someone that's been possessed, it's like those.
Don't call us. You like say, call us. No, no.
It's like those attorney commercials. No. If you or someone you know has died.
If you or someone you know has died, call us. Whatever.
You know the commercials I'm talking about, though. I'm like, that makes no sense. Who wrote this?
If you have died, do not call us.
Yeah,
please.
Do not call us.
I do not want to know you.
I know. Huey's just looking at us. He's like, what the hell with these two?
Like, you two girls are nuts.
Give me your buddy. Oh, my boy.
And his little tail is just my a wag. My baby boy.
His rudder is happy. You love your mother, Hugh. So really, you guys, if you have any possession stories you want to share or just a good old ghost story, let us know. Write to us at themediummatters@gmail.com, or you can record it and send it to us. Same email address, whatevs, or on social media. So don't forget, you can find The Medium Matters on Twitter and Snapchat at Medium Matters, and on Facebook and Instagram at The Medium Matters. And, you know, the regular, the usual stuff, the email.
The smoke signals?
Yeah. Carrier pigeons. All the good stuff. So, yeah, all your stories, we want to hear them. And if you guys want to send a shout out to the show, I mean, record that and send it in. If you want to, I mean, those would be fun to put on the show, too. But whatever it is, you guys, just send it in. And I'm going to start airing that stuff because I think it's so much fun to include you guys. And, you know, and I'll do my best to let you know what episode it's going to air on. So, I said that right. Okay. I was like, that didn't sound right. So you can listen for it, and we'll shout you out too. So make sure you send us your shout outs and leave us a review, because, you know,
reviews are so important.
They're really important, and they help other people find the show. So that's what we want. And the show's been doing so, so well in season 2. Like, I'm super floored. It's super duper exciting. And I know I keep saying that, but it just warms my heart so much. So make sure you're doing that. All right, you guys. So that really is a show. Thank you for hanging with us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being so awesome. We love you, and we will see you, talk to you, talk with you, whatevs, next Tuesday, same bat time, same bat channel. The bats are out. All right, you guys, it has been a blast. We are out. Love you guys.
Love you.